Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Gets it out to Maxey, who hits the three from the corner. This guy is an absolute killer. Cold-blooded.
Butts Talk starts now.
123-114 here in overtime. Their third straight loss, falling to 500 on the season now at 8 wins and 8 losses.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, a tough one tonight for the Bucks, who, again, get another big game from Ryan Rollins, a career night, matching the career high that he set against the Golden State Warriors 3 weeks ago to the day in this building. 32 points from Rollins, a career-best 14 assists, but you could almost sense he's playing with the weight of the world on his shoulders right now, not only with the absence of Giannis, the absence of Kevin Porter Jr. as well. And on a night where, you know, we saw some continued struggles from Cole Anthony, it just puts a lot on the plate of Ryan Rollins to be, at times, the only initiator and shot creator, shot maker even for that matter, for this Bucks team. So there was a lot to like that you saw tonight, but unfortunately you lose the game. And as we mentioned before, you point to some other losses here and say, you don't want to circle these as moral victories here. There can be some things that you like, but ultimately you got to play better and you got to execute and you got to turn these winnable games into wins. This was a game you played without Giannis and it was there for the taking. You go back, 2 weeks ago, that loss to the Houston Rockets, who've been one of the better teams in the league this season. That was a game you controlled for large portions. It was there for the taking. A very disappointing loss to the Sacramento Kings earlier this season, which looks even worse with each passing day and week now. These are the ones that, look, every single loss matters and hurts you in the standings, but it's those types of games that you look back at the end of the season, you look back on at the end of the season and say, well, this is the reason why you finished a seed line or two seed lines lower than you are. I think there is a very, very big piece of good news for the Bucks right now, and that is just how jumbled the Eastern Conference standings are. You know, Detroit is playing phenomenal right now, 11 straight wins, they're 13-2. But outside of that, you have teams that maybe are slowly starting to find themselves. The Toronto Raptors, second best record in the Eastern Conference. You've split your two games with Toronto so far. But there's a lot of teams that are just a game in front of the Bucks at 500 right now. 2 through 11, Toronto is second. You're 11th. 2 through 11 is separated by just 2.5 games. If you can turn these games that are winnable there for the taking, if you can start to turn more of them into wins and weather the storm, you are more than fine in this interim here of playing games without Giannis. But you've got to start to win those games. Three straight losses in a schedule that looks very, very daunting right now, not only Saturday night, but what comes immediately after that as well. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A disappointing game. Third straight defeat tonight for the Bucks. And, you know, despite the strong play from Ryan Rollins, a couple of the common areas of concern remain for this Bucks team. We'll take a look at that and get to your thoughts on this 8-8 start to the season for the Bucks, coming up next on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Nine-point loss tonight in overtime for the Bucks in a game that Tyrese Maxey just dominated. You heard Doc Rivers talk about the zone and how good that was for the Bucks tonight. I mentioned it, too, on the broadcast of, you're really kind of wondering, when are the Bucks going to go to zone here? It's been a staple of their defense and something they've started to lean into quite a bit. You bring it up because the Bucks coming into to play tonight, and I would imagine it's probably going to shift to number one after this, or at least come very, very close. But coming into play tonight, the Bucks had run the second most zone possessions on defense this season. 135 times that they have been matched up against their opponent's offense, they've gone to zone. That's about 9 possessions per game for the Bucks. The Houston Rockets have done it the most. And the Bucks' defensive efficiency in those spots has been in the top 10. They've allowed the 8th fewest points per possession. So in those 135 possessions, their opponent is scoring less than 1 point per possession when the Bucks have thrown zone at them. So they've used it a lot, and they've been good at it. Conversely, the 76ers, for their offense, they have not seen zone a lot this season. They saw and faced a zone defense the fewest times in the league. Before tonight, it was just 10 possessions total that their offense has faced a zone defense. Again, that's what the Bucks are averaging on a nightly basis. So you got the sense they're probably going to lean into zone quite a bit here. And especially with no Giannis, I just keep coming back to, for lack of a better phrase, you're going to have to muck up the game. And what we mean by that is you're going to have to try to just be a chameleon of sorts. You're going to have to play slower when needed and then pick up the pace and just keep the Sixers, keep any opponent on their toes in that sense. But you're going to have to lean into that type of thing, try to lean into zone and making it an ugly game and really fixing that defense, but you're going to have to hit a lot of threes. And I would say the Bucks' defense was fine tonight. I know it's probably hard to say that on a night where Tyrese Maxey erupts for 54 points. I didn't think the defense was the problem tonight. I thought large stretches of the first quarter when you just couldn't generate anything on offense was a much, much larger problem. And that's why we keep saying muck up the game. It's in all likelihood going to continue to be a problem so long as Giannis isn't on the floor. Again, when Giannis has been on the floor this season, the Bucks have had the number one offense in the league. When he's off the floor, their ranking drops to 30th. And if you look at those numbers specifically, with Giannis on the floor, the Bucks are 21 points per 100 possessions better on offense than they are with him off the floor. So when Giannis is out there, for every 100 times the Bucks have the ball, they are scoring 21 more points than they would have if he was off the floor. That is the largest difference throughout Giannis's career. 9.2, I think, was the previous high 2 years ago, his first year with Damian Lillard here. So it is markedly higher than it's ever been for Giannis. And I think when you watch him, right, we've all said, man, this might be the best that Giannis is playing. Those numbers back it up. They have played at the pace in the minutes he's on the floor, not the games he's played, the minutes specifically that he's on the floor. They played at the pace of a 58-win team. When he's been off the floor, they have played, by the metrics, as a 14-win team. And the latter is unfortunately what we saw to start the game tonight and what you saw in other moments, where it's going to be a challenge offensively. Even if your defense is fine, offensively you got to generate points. And you're going to have to continue to increase the three-point volume. They were trending towards the lowest attempt of threes in a game so far this season. They ultimately moved past it. But still, you look at the numbers, the volume of three-point attempts that the Bucks have taken this season. As the season started to where it is now, first two games, 44 three-point attempts against the Wizards, 40 against the Raptors, in the mid-30s in their next two games against the Cavs and that win against the Knicks, but 46 against the Warriors. The Warriors game should be, this is the template, right? That was a 32-point Ryan Rollins game, but this is how we're going to have to win without Giannis. 47 three-point attempts against the Indiana Pacers, and ever since then, really going back to the Kings game, which you lost, but going back through this month here, 36 attempts tonight, I believe, 36 in the loss to the Cavs two nights ago, 39 prior to that, 34, 30, 36, 29 against the Rockets. The numbers have gone down and down and down and down. And we heard a lot over the offseason in training camp and the preseason, and we saw a very high volume of three-point attempts in preseason, but that was intentional. We like the shooters we have. We were the most efficient three-point shooting team in the league last season. If that number drops from first to fifth, sixth, seventh, fine, as long as our attempts continue to go up. And he saw that for the first five games. Since then, it's been absent. And that is one of the big, big issues that we've seen with this team of late. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Three-point volume, a big thing. There's one other big thing that I am going to apparently continue to say until I'm blue in the face, and this is really what came back to bite the Bucks tonight. We'll dig into some of the hustle numbers coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
.123 to .114, our final tonight inside of Fiserv Forum. 76ers win it in overtime. 54 points tonight from Tyrese Maxey, a new career high. It offsets what Ryan Rollins did once again, matching his career high with 32 points and dishing out 14 assists. So, look, there is nothing but high marks for what you've seen and continue to see from Ryan Rollins. And, you know, so much of the talk coming into this season about, depending on who you listened to, Giannis and the other guys, basically, the setup here. And there's no denying Giannis is the best player, not only on this team, in this conference. But I think what we've learned so far this season is Ryan Rollins is that secondary scorer for this team. You know, I think I talked about it on a few other shows. I don't think the Bucks ever came into this season with the assumption that Miles Turner was going to be like your second leading scorer on the team. He can have games and moments and stretches where he does that, sure. And again, tonight, that's one of the lost in the mix of all of this is, you know, Miles Turner was set up to be the hero with a big, big three-pointer late in this game. He's really started to connect on that shot much, much more consistently these past few games. But that Miles Turner three, as Doc Rivers said, if you execute down the stretch, that's the game winner. We had a foul to give. We didn't use it. Tyrese Maxey draws a foul, gets to the line. Conversely, Philly had a foul to give. They used it and used it at the perfect time to cut our time from 7 seconds to 4.5. And in that 4.5 seconds, the Bucks just couldn't get a quality look. I don't think Miles Turner was ever viewed as this is the number two guy. I don't think there was this viewpoint on who the number two guy was. I think, and Doc has said this quite a bit too, maybe we don't know until the end of the season. Like, it might be something that takes time to find out. If we have found anything out so far, I think it's that Ryan Rollins is that guy. And you desperately miss Kevin Porter Jr. as well, who, by the way, just met with media 2 days ago, yesterday. First time since his surgery and suffering that knee injury, and he's on track for a return sometime in early December. I mean, I know the Bucks said it was going to be about 4 weeks, and that would line up with the first game the Bucks play in December against the Washington Wizards. But sometime that week, you get the sense that's where Kevin Porter Jr. is going to be making his return, and that's probably where Giannis is going to be making his return. So you get two big pieces back for an offense that has really struggled to find consistency. But in the meantime, you know, we mentioned the defense not being up to par for what you expected. Your defense just needs to be fine, right? If your offense is going to play at the level that it has with Giannis on the floor, as long as your defense isn't bad, you're going to put yourself in position to win quite a few games. If you can cobble together a defense that just comes up with big moments and gets big stops, but just isn't a disaster. The problem is, for a lot of November, the Bucks defense has teetered on being a disaster. And a big part of that, especially earlier in the month, was their work on the glass. It has gotten better for the last six or so games. You know, not coincidentally, when the Bucks leaned into playing bigger, they've done a better job, and they were doing a better job for large stretches of tonight's game on the defensive glass. But ultimately, that's one of the things that has routinely popped up and bitten the Bucks in these losses. I mentioned before the game, and I mentioned this on the Locked On Bucks show this morning as well. What you have to do in this hopefully week, 10 days, maybe 2 weeks that Giannis misses here, what you have to do in this time period is you're going to have to hit a lot of threes. You're going to have to take a lot of threes. You're going to have to hit threes. 14 to 36, I would not classify as a lot in either category. You got to see that number consistently get into the 40s, I think. You know, for long-term success, for where this team needs to be with the shooting that they've surrounded Giannis with, but especially in those games where Giannis is not playing, and that's 30-plus points off the floor, you got to take 40 or more threes. The Bucks are unbeaten this season when they're taking 40 or more threes, and they're now 4-8 in the games. 4-0 when they take 40 or more, 4-8 in the games where they don't. I don't think that's coincidental. But you're going to have to take and make threes, and you're going to have to win on the margins, because I think we've seen the margin for error is not what it's been in the past with this team. You know, when you had staggered scoring and staggered offensive initiators, if you had Giannis and Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton, etc., Drew Holiday, you at least gave yourself more of a margin for error. Even in games when Giannis was out, you've got Drew and Chris that you can lean on. You've got Dame that you can lean on. We're seeing you got Ryan Rollins that you're going to have to lean on, and he's come up big in those moments. But there's not much outside of that in terms of who's going to shoulder that load and who's going to create for himself and his teammates. So you're going to have to bomb away and hit threes, and you're going to have to win on the margins. Clean up the areas that they're just not executing in. And those areas are offensive rebounds for the opponent, so your defensive rebounding and the opponent's second-chance points that come off of those offensive reloads. It wasn't horrible. We've certainly seen worse from the Bucks this season, but it was big in the big moments. It was not good enough for the Bucks tonight. There, fourth quarter especially. You know, Philly had four offensive rebounds to start the fourth quarter in a quarter that, at that point, they missed seven shots. More than half of their misses they're getting to and getting the rebound. 11 offensive rebounds for Philly. They scored 11 points off of those. 3 for the Bucks. They scored just 2 points. Turnovers. Again, the Bucks are not in even the top half of the league in terms of most, highest, I should say, turnover rate. So in other words, percentage of the possessions when you have the ball, what percentage of those result in a turnover? Bucks have been pretty good in that category. But if you just watch the last 3 or 4 games, you would think that's crazy, and it's the opposite. Still only 14 turnovers tonight, which matched Philadelphia, and they had 7 in the opening quarter. So they were much, much better as the game went on. But Philly is a team. They do not play at a high tempo. They do not play at a fast pace, except for when they turn you over. When you turn it over, then they're going to run and score in transition, and that's what we saw tonight. 25-16, the difference in points off of turnovers. And then this one again, the third one, it may be the biggest one because I don't know how you fix this if you're the Bucks on either end of the floor. But free throws. Philly doubled you up in terms of their free throw attempts tonight. 26 from the Sixers, 13 for the Bucks. They hit 21 to your 10. This has been something even more consistent than the offensive rebounds you're giving up to the opponent, second chance points, points off of turnovers, all of it that we've said is kind of bubbled up at times. Free throws has been there all season long. Points left off the scoreboard by the Bucks with some misses, and tonight wasn't bad. 10 of 13, you shot 77%. But Philly shot 81%, and they got there 26 times. The opponent is routinely getting to the free throw line more than you, and they're shooting at a higher efficiency than you are at the free throw line. So you add all that up, and I think you can look back at every single game the Bucks have lost this season, and it will be a similar story here. In free throws, the 76ers were plus 7. Second chance points, they were plus 9. Points off of turnovers, they were plus 9. Plus 25. They outscored you by 25 in those areas that, again, you have to either win or minimize the damage when you're playing without Giannis. That, to me, more than the 54 from Tyrese Maxey, more than the Sixers knocking down more threes than you, more than any of it. The hustle categories is what decided this game once again tonight. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at the standings. I mentioned things are pretty bunched up. That's the good news, at least for now, for the Bucks. But you got to do something with that. So we'll take a look at the standings coming up after this.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk.
123 to 114, our final tonight. The Tyrese Maxey game. He erupts for a career-high 54 points. And it overshadows another big game from Ryan Rollins, 32 points, 14 assists, and 6 rebounds. Ryan Rollins, too, had the ball in his hands quite a bit tonight. I have not seen what the final tally is, but his usage rate, I would imagine, is going to end up approaching Giannis levels for this game. Giannis was, a 38% usage rate coming into play. Well, tonight, but ever since that leaving the game against the Cavaliers, usage rate, by the way, is basically as it sounds. You know, how frequently the ball is going through you in the final, the end of the possession results in either you taking, making a shot or with an assist or getting to the free throw line. So Ryan Rollins had a lot on his plate tonight, and he came up big. And I tell you, he continues the most impressive parts of his game. He has this uncanny ability to just get into the paint and finish with either hand. A couple of tough ones tonight where he gets to the rim and just couldn't finish in traffic, but he's been very good at it all season long. His quickness almost seems to surprise his opponents where he just gets that step and gets past them. That, and then, you know, we saw it again tonight when Ryan Rollins was answering Tyrese Maxey with a couple of mid-range jumpers and a big three to put the Bucks back in front. That's another thing. He has had a knack for knocking down that shot to kind of seize the moment just when it feels like the opponent is starting to maybe take the game or go on a run of their own. Ryan Rollins has been the guy to answer with big shots so far this season for the Bucks. I mentioned there's, you know, the good piece of this, even though you've dropped three consecutive games and, you know, continue to find yourself outside of the playoff picture right now, 11th in the Eastern Conference. The Charlotte Hornets are 4-11, the Brooklyn Nets are 2-12, the Pacers are 2-13, Wizards are 1-13. Even if this was a long-term injury, which thankfully it is not for Giannis, I still think it would take quite a bit of work to move past any of those teams in the East. So that would set your baseline of, well, we know we'd at least be in contention for that 10 seed in the play-in tournament, which, again, it's much better than that. But right now, 2 through 11, you are 11. The Toronto Raptors are 2. 3 games in the loss column. 2.5 games total that separate those teams. Celtics are 8-7. Magic are 9-7. So are the Hawks. Bulls are 8-6. The Heat and Sixers are now 9-6. The Cavs are 10-6. Knicks are 9-5, right? It's there. All these teams are bunched up there. Only the Pistons are the team that's running away from the pack right now. And that's who you get on Saturday. You go back to Monday, a couple of those games, you know, we talked about just how good you were for large stretches until you weren't against the Houston Rockets. How frustrating that loss was to the Sacramento Kings. You had two very, very closely contested games with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I think you feel like, I think we put ourselves in position to win that game with the way they played without Giannis and when that injury occurred, but how they looked prior to that. If you did win that game, you're tied with Cleveland right now in the standings. That's just how closely teams are packed in there right now. So the big takeaway, and I know it's probably tough to see through this in a stretch where you have now lost three consecutive games and have a very challenging schedule in front of you in the short term, but the big takeaway is, look, just weather the storm, and you'll be fine. Assuming you get Giannis back in, you know, let's say the first week of December, which would be 2 weeks, if you can weather that storm, which is going to be 6 or 7 games, go 3-4 even, you're going to be fine long term. because of how packed up the Eastern Conference standings are. We'll take a look at what's up next, that Detroit Pistons team that's going to come to town on an 11-game win streak. We'll preview the matchup and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Well, the 76ers handing the Bucks their third consecutive defeat tonight in a big one from Tyrese Maxey, a career-high 54 points. They win it in overtime, 123-114. And again, late-game execution, another time that we mentioned that for the Bucks. But bigger than that were the areas that you just have to put forward a better showing in. Those hustle categories, as you'll oftentimes see them termed as, your second chance points, points off of turnovers, and then just generating free throw trips, right? Being the aggressive team that's getting into the paint and attacking and getting to the line. The Bucks have been far too inconsistent there, and we've seen them put the opponent at the free throw line quite a bit. Big difference in this one tonight. It was, 23 plus 25 for the Sixers in all three of those categories added up. And it doesn't get any easier. Saturday night, the Detroit Pistons come to town. They're going to have 3 days of rest. So that's going to be the interesting thing, whether or not that is a good thing or a bad thing, the rest versus rust discussion for the Pistons. They last played on Tuesday night. So they're coming to Milwaukee well-rested, 3 days of rest, and owning an 11-game win streak. So we'll see if the Bucks can answer the bell against, right now, the Eastern Conference's best team, led by Cade Cunningham and Jalen Duren. 7 o'clock tip time on Saturday night. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on this station. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk with you Saturday night.